Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sit down. Father, we thank you again for your manifold grace that has brought us up to this point. Lord, we said we of our own selves are not worthy of your grace. But we thank you for your mercy that has worked in our lives, worked in our situation and circumstances to bring us to this point, O God. And we know that you that started this good work, you are able to perfect it. You're able to finish it. Lord, we thank you for the horizon that you are opening up before us. We thank you for the sound of the trumpet that we are hearing.
Amen.
We thank you for the stirring in our hearts. We thank you for this new wind, this new dawning that is coming. We know it is the dawning of the day of the Lord. And Lord, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to be partakers of this divine nature, this divine calling, this divine election. And we pray, oh God, that you will help us to make the right choices. Lord, now we will make the righteous and keep on making the right choices, whatever it will cost, that you will give us the grace to pay the price. For we see that it is indeed a high price, but you also pay the high price for us. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We are at the... there's a new message that we are hearing. I don't know if you are hearing it, but there's a trumpet that is sounding. Some call it the seventh trumpet. Those are just terminologies, but there is something that God is putting on the table and is offering to us. And then it's like when I went to England I was doing my master's degree back home here in Nigeria. You read and they tell you about a particular test you do in the laboratory. We will say, of course, the experiments are not there, the reagents are not there, so you just know about them. But when I got to England, I had to change because the experiments were there, the reagents were there, all the equipment you need were there that I needed to carry out those things, and they were running those tests routinely. You know, so I had to come from a point of not possible to a point of regularly possible. Amen. And that is the where they will say paradigm shift. That is the change that you and I have to make, because right now, the shift is that of perfection. Amen.
Amen.
God is speaking and calling the people to the place of a perfect work, to a perfect experience with God, maturity. You know, he says that he has given us, he has set ministries to bring the church to a perfect man.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the other day when Brother Mark was reading it, I felt bad because those were scriptures that many years ago was like the driving force. And I said, God, how is it that it's like these scriptures are new to me now? Anyway, thank God that they're new because I had lost them. Amen.
Amen.
Because there was a time when we were pressing forward, you know, to that fullness, you know, to the fullness of the statue of the of the nature of Christ. Amen. God is calling the people to perfection. He's calling the people to fullness. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, and God is opening it up and painting a picture. It's as it were enticing us. You know, it's wooing us and say, look, this is what I'm offering you, and you can make it.
Yeah.
You know, you can make it. So,
yeah.
So today I'm addressing the mind, because that is where the change must be. You know, and that is where the enemy has. That is his major investment in the mind. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And one of the things that will bring us there is the restoration of the message of the cross.
Amen.
That is one of the things, one of the key things the devil has stolen, which must be restored. The message of the cross. And that is the strength of consecration. And many of us, I particularly, have lost that message. So my consecration has no strength. But thank God, God is restoring it.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. So yes, God is giving us a rosy picture. We are seeing the end, a little bit of it, not really the fullness of the end. We're just opening the curtain. It still hasn't fully dawned. But we are seeing something. I'm sure, I don't know if you are seeing something. Yeah. But you see, you have to go from where you are to that place. And, you know, what's in my heart is just to see if I can, just open that bridge to say, how can we walk, you know, into that which God is saying? Because there must be a walking out. There must be a pressing in. There must be a consecration unto a heavenly life. The heavenly life is different from the carnal life. The Bible talks about the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. Those are the two realms of the mind. And one has dominioned or dominated or reigned over the other one. And made the other one look so redundant, as though there is nothing called this. But there is the spiritual mind. And there is the people who walk after, who are ruled by that spiritual mind. And the Bible calls them inhabitants of heaven, those who dwell in the heavens. The devil has so deceived us to think that we are carnal people. We are not carnal people. You know, God made us to be inhabitants of heaven. Amen.
Amen.
So I just want to talk a little bit about the doctrine of Christ, certain basic aspects of the doctrine of Christ. I just want to take it because some of us may be hearing this word for the first time. To some, it may not be very clear, and we're not assuming anything. We want to ensure that everyone has a clear understanding, so that you can also teach and instruct others how we can walk into this new priesthood, because it's a priesthood. Amen. And how can I change from being a social boy, a social man, to become a priest? You know, so it's a shift. You know, living my life carelessly unto myself. You know, like Robert was saying, self-preservation, enjoying myself, and then to change to become a priest. You know, so that is the change we must make, and we have a very short time to make that change. Amen. Because darkness is coming, midnight is coming. It's amazing that within 6 months, the plunge in immorality, in homosexuality, in darkness.
Jesus.
You know, Jesus has showed us that we are no longer innocent. Our secondary schools are no longer innocent. That we are taken by homosexuality. We are pointing hands at the Western world. Let's forget it. Let's come home. You know, homosexuality is running rife in our secondary schools. I'm not even talking about universities. So those are realities that we have to face. And we must overcome, and we must teach our children to overcome, and we must do. The battle must be won. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
But you see, it's a walk, because it's not a quick fix. After you have prayed for the man, after you have done everything, the child, the man, must walk right, must walk in the light. And there are certain principles, you know. And so I just want to look at some of them. I want to begin from Hebrews 9, two read two verses. Then I'll draw a triangle, and let's see if how far we can climb in the triangle. Now Hebrews 9 is a continuation of the principles of Christ that he was speaking about in Hebrews 6, because it's a whole discourse. But we don't have time, so I'm just going straight. Hebrews 9:9 is so easy you can't forget. 9:9 and 9:14. Those are key scriptures. It says, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. Amen. You know, the Old Testament, there were offerings that they brought, But those offerings could not make the conscience perfect. Brabak was not about perfection. There are levels in which man has to be, God has to touch man in a certain dimension. And the highest dimension is that of the conscience. And the Bible says that the old covenant could not make the man perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Look at 14, say, how much more? Okay, 13 say, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know, brother was talking about darkness. Darkness is an activity of the conscience. It's an activity why? Because it's the loins of the mind. That is where, the English people, they say it is the seat of vigor, the place of vitality, the place of life. That is, you know, that is the loins. It's the deepest dimension. That's where life is bettered. That's where the seed, you know, of life is received and conceived and brought forth. And that is where the dead works are coming from. So when the Bible says repentance from dead works, it's addressing the foundation. And the old covenant did not have the capacity to address it. And you know, when you talk about the old covenant, in our time, you have to think of church. And I'm going to see show you very, very soon. Church cannot address it. Okay, and that's why the devil wants you and I to play church. You know, to stay at that place. Because it does not address the issue. The issue is the darkness. And all the darkness in the world came from one seed. The seed of good and evil. And you see, everything in this life is summarized by good and evil. You know, sometimes you win, some you lose. Isn't it also? It's up tomorrow, down the other day. You know, you are sat today, tomorrow, you know. So it's and that is the what has been propagated, and it came forth from a particular source that has spread it. Now the way the Greeks would describe darkness, there are five dimensions. One of them speaks of something like a factory, you know, darkness that is produced and spread. Speaks of the works of darkness. It speaks of in the sense of something that is being spread, and the source of that spread is in the conscience within man. You know, so everything that man is doing, if our religion does not address the depths of the soul, then our religion is false, and it is going to have power. And that's why we, the adults, are having problems. The marriages are having problems. The homes are having problems. Relationships are under, because we cannot run. You see, if you have run with the horsemen, footmen, and they wearied you, how are you going to run with the horsemen? The horses are speaking of spirits, and these spirits are operating at the highest level. And so the church, through the word that is coming, God is trying to open something to us. He is speaking to us about darkness. He is telling us how it is, where it is working. And he's also giving us the antidotes, the ways in which to deal with that. And the way it is, nobody can buy the oil for you. You know, the wise virgin must buy the oil in the vessel. Oil in the lamp is free of charge. Everybody gets that. Born again, you get it. But to have the oil in the vessel speaks of the soul. And that oil is the life of Christ. The zoe, the vitality, that everlasting, you know, life that nourishes and feeds the soul. That one, every soul must be able to purchase for himself. You know, so the doctrine of Christ, Jesus came with a new doctrine. And when I was stepping out in the morning, I heard Brother Matt talk about it. He spoke about the tabernacle of David. Yeah. You know, God says, I will restore the tabernacle of David that has fallen down.
Amen.
Okay? Now, so what is this tabernacle of David? In the tabernacle of David, there were no barriers.
That's right.
There were no veils.
Yes.
And it's the closest thing that could speak of the oldest tabernacle. Mm. The oldest tabernacle is the tabernacle of you, of man. You know? You see, God is a spirit. And his house cannot be anything but what? Spirit.
Yes.
So that's what Jesus told Mary. He said, you see, Mary came from a point of location. And it is so sad that amongst us, when you listen to me ministry, when we preach, most of what we are saying is locational preaching. You know, church. She came and said, no, my church is better than your church. So my church, you are a Samaritan church. You are a Jerusalem church. Say, our old church is better than your own church. Amen. Jesus said, this is not a matter of comparing church to church. He said, look, that those who worship God, do one. They worship God. What is it? The spirit is speaking about the soul. That is the worship God requires from us. God is looking for worship at that level. But we have not been thinking, we have not functioned in that way. We have not been brought up in that dimension. And the devil wants us to function in the locational dimension. Why he is sitting? He said, I will go upon Zion. I will sit on the signs of no. I will be as God.
Aye.
So the devil is the pope in the church. He's not even in the Catholic church. He is sitting in the pope. He is the head of the church.
Amen.
And he is giving us something that we are following. We think we are worshiping God, but we are just worshiping the devil in the form of church. He is an angel of light. So what he has given to us is just location, place. You know, this one is in Jerusalem, the other one is in Jericho, the other one is there, and they're just walking at that level. Meanwhile, he's sitting. What happened in Matthew 4? He says, I will give you the kingdoms of the world. He showed him in a moment. He said, these have been given to me if you bow down and worship me. So he had access to the souls of men, and that's where he was sitting. You know, and he had deceived us to look away from it. And rather, we are pursuing something that will always end up in church.
Yeah.
Amen. And God says that they that worship God must worship him in spirit. For such does the Lord God seek to worship him. So God has a desire for a people to come to a certain level of worship. Because the oldest priesthood is the priesthood of the soul, is the priesthood of man. And that is the priesthood of Adam, Enoch. That is the priesthood that has always been. These are a priesthood of the law. The law came in as a schoolmaster, as a temporary thing, after which it shall be taken away, and the original priesthood will continue. You know, so God does not and cannot be limited to a natural location. A natural expression. He's speaking of the true priesthood of Christ. So we have this this drawing I saw in the spirit. It's like a triangle. So you have five levels. So at the top is conscience, which is part of the mind, which is part of the soul, which is the major component of man, and then this is the location, Jerusalem and Samaria or wherever you might call it. This is it turned upside down. So this is conscience. Okay, and then this is the mind, and then this is the soul, and then this is the temple of man, and then this is the location. Now this is what God is asking, this is what God is giving to us, this is what must be. But this is what the devil has given to us right now, that location, that means your fellowship. You can put your fellowship in Christ in Dubuque. That's MIS. What about Potter's place? So we should add Nikki Hassel. Be very careful though, that you don't follow us. Don't follow us. Amen. So this is what the devil wants it to be. Turned upside down. So the thing people are aspiring to is what? Church. Alright? But this is what God wants. This one is bad. Amen. This is where you see, God made man with, there's a particular design. And that design is that the conscience will rule over the soul. Now, the mind has four natures. So if we can write it here. We don't have, so let me just give it as we come. The first part of this is a place of perception. So it talks about the eyes of understanding and all that. The second dimension of the mind is understanding. So this is a place of logic and reasoning. The third dimension is actually the conscience. So this is the seat of judgment of right and wrong. Actually, this is the Urim and the Thummim. If you remember, the Urim and Thummim of the Old Testament, and that was the, he called it the light and the perfections. Now that was the point in which the high priest functioned. So in every matter, he will consult the Urim and the Thummim. That's what gave the direction where to go. So that's the conscience in the New Testament. Then wisdom is the active component, and the fear of the Lord is the basic fear of the Lord. It's an active spirit. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from iniquity. So this is the active component of wisdom, the fear of the Lord. And you and I do not fear God. I know I don't fear God, and I'm saying God shall bless of me sufficiently to that is, I have an active hatred for sin. You see, it's not just enough to say, well, this is evil. Paul said, the things that were evil, I knew they were evil, but I didn't have the power to reject them. You know, so when you say someone has power and authority, means you're able to determine that this is wrong, and you have power to establish it, to bring that into effect. They say that person has power, dunamis. So these are the four levels.
Understanding.
That's a logic and reasoning. You know, the perception is that is, you know, you see, Brabot has been speaking about knowing God. Okay, now in the natural, how do you know your environment? How do you know your house? It's mainly by what you see, is it not? If you close your eye, you have cut down your interaction with this room, with this, your house, by almost 50%. If you close your ears, another 25% has gone. If you cannot feel anything, my ability to relate, to know this house, is by what you call senses. Now, the senses are natural abilities of the brain to be able to know your environment. And what you see in the natural, it is a nature in the spirit. So when God said, when God saw, what kind of eyes does God have? So God said, when God handled, when God, you know, so all those things, that they're speaking of abilities within the soul of man, so that man can see God, can hear God, can discern God, can be sensitive to God, and can partake of God. And one of the things that we have been made to believe is that we cannot know God. And the reason why we have believed it, because man is born with a nature that is blind to God. He says that Ephesians 4:18. Ephesians 4:18. What does it say? Okay, let's start from 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk. In Ephesians 4, 17. Walk what? In the vanity of their minds. Having the what? Understanding what? Darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So other English language is just saying that because the natures that God has inbuilt in me so that I can see Him, so that I can hear Him, so that I can touch Him, so that I can discern God and the things of God, the movings of God, they are blinded, they are all shut down. Alright? And because of it, I'm alienated from the life of God. And I think that God is so far away from me. You know, and because I think God is so far away, I live my life as though God does not exist. It's called a beastly life. It's called the worship of the beast. And the Bible says, if any man worship the beast, or worship his image, or worship so and so, he shall have a part in the lake that burneth with fire. So the basis of judgment is what happens in the soul. And we are not even addressing it. If not recently, that, you know, God has begun to open it up. So we are looking at it. So what it is saying is that I can know God. Now Jesus said, this is life eternal, that we might know thee. We can know God. You and I can know God. You can hear God. Have you heard Brother Mark say God told him? Did you hear him? I heard him. God told him, ask me 3 questions. Amen. He said, walk with God. You can hear God. Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm not hearing any response. You're looking at me.
Amen.
You can hear God.
Amen.
Amen. You can hear God as you're hearing me.
Yes. Amen.
You can.
Oh yes.
You can. You can see God. Amen. You can see God. You can discern the things of God. You enter a place. Brother George was teaching about the same as you know. So a man comes here, he's preaching, shouting, doing everything. But you're able to discern a wrong spirit. I Bible say a priest must not be flat nosed. That means you can't discern anything. Amen. You call good evil and evil good. Amen. It is the highest dimension of deception. You know, where somebody comes and he's clearly evil, he's clearly out of the way, he says he's a man of God. He's the great power of God. Okay? The people of Samaria, they saw a man, he was healing everybody, raising the dead. He said, this is the great and mighty prophet of Samaria. And 2 brethren from Jerusalem came, they said, no, this man is a sorcerer. And they judged him.
Yes, that's right.
It comes from having our senses trained.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
The senses must be trained. Now when you say senses, some of us we want to run away. Don't run away. It is speaking of an ability God put in you so that you can relate to Him.
Amen.
Just like God gave you in natural senses to relate to the environment. How do we think that He wouldn't have given us the ability to relate to Him? To hear Him. He said, my sheep does what? Hears my voice. So how then will God expect you to hear if He hasn't given you an ear? If He hasn't given you the ability to hear Him. Amen. So that's why He's telling us there must be a paradigm shift. There must be a foundational change in our Christianity. And the reason why we are not progressing, even and particularly the end time church, God called us to make a difference. Now we have become the problem. And what was the change? God called us to move forward. You know, to come into the place where we can relate with Him. So we are reading Ephesians 4, and Paul is talking about the blindness of the mind, the vanity of the mind. And you can see the reason why they could not relate to God, they could not, it was that their minds were blinded. Their understanding was blinded. Their heart was blinded. And the Bible tells us the story that in the Old Testament there was a man called Saul. And when they killed him, the Bible says that the Philistines took his head and they pinned it to the house of Ashtaroth. How come you think sexuality is a major problem in the world today? Because it's worship. You know, it's, and it is at the level of the mind. Okay? And they took his head and they pinned it to the word of Ashtaroth. And because the devil was interested in the mind. And today, the battle is still in the mind. And if we are not able to change our approach, then we are not going to win this war. You know, but Brother God was talking about teaching our children to be sons of God. Sons of God are those who dwell in the heavens. Sons of God are people who are led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And the soul of man was created by the life of God, by the breath of God. That's what created, you know, the soul. And it was created to be nourished and sustained by the life of God. So I want to come to this board, and I want us to look, you know, because I want to see if we can just be a little bit orderly in approaching it. Now, before Jesus came in his ministry, the ministry that was there was the ministry of location, Jerusalem. One time it was in Gibeon, the high place was in Gibeon. That was where they kept the tabernacle up until Solomon built and built the proper temple for it in Jerusalem. All right, so it was a location, it was a place. And that was said that every year Samuel would go to the high place, isn't it? Every firstborn, sorry, every male in Jerusalem must go 3 times in a year to Jerusalem to worship. Okay, so that is, and so it was a location thing. Now, when Jesus came, he said, they began to also teach him and talk to him about location. They said, have you seen our temple? It's a mighty temple. Jesus said, destroy it down. And in 3 days, I will raise a new temple. And of course, we are told in John 2 that the temple he was speaking of was the temple of his body. Now, so this is just the second dimension. So Jesus came with something that is new. So in other words, we know that from this second level down, that this is the New Testament. This other one is the old order. However, majority of Christians have been operating at this old. That means when you think of worship, you think of a location. You come here on Sunday. You come here on a particular day, and then when Brother Bot was saying, immediately you come here, you say, now we're ready to talk about God. Yeah. But if you meet your brother on the street, you don't want to talk about the scriptures. You don't want to talk about the scriptures. You probably want to talk about politics. Because in our mind, fellowship, it has to be on Sunday. I'm telling you, I feel, I don't know why, I haven't trained myself to that level where, you know, but fellowship is every time and every place. Yes. Amen. Yes. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you have done that. I have not. I'm still, it's part of the prayer I'm praying, say, God, you need to change my mind. Amen. That my worship is continuous. And you see, it cannot be continuous if we are still locational. If fellowship is Sunday. But if we realize that we are that temple. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus says, pray without ceasing. How would a man pray without ceasing? It is, so he's speaking of an attitude.
Yeah.
And my attitude has to change. And the change in my attitude is not that I want to do somebody a favor. Okay, let me do it, because if I do it, they know I'm a good. It is a relationship that I want to. You know, like I was saying, most of us got saved because we didn't want to go to hell. That's true. I watched one film called Burning Hell. There's a film in Nigeria called Burning Hell. When you watch a film, you get born again on that night. Burning Hell. So as a young university Christian, we used to go to secondary schools and we would shoot Burning Hell. We know that when you shoot the film, burning hell, all in the school were God. So the day they came to my school, I showed burning hell. I said, my friend, I told Bina, I'm going. I went out. I said, God, I want to be born again. I didn't want to go to hell. But they showed us maggots. Showed us all kinds of. He said, that's how you will be. That's how you be like the maggot burning. And, you know, so we had a warm diet. Not. Amen. And we responded. Hallelujah. But brethren, it's much more than that. It's much more than the question of health. It's much more than a relationship knowing God. You know, being able to hear God. Being able to, you know, relate to God, touch God, and have that reality of God. And you're asking yourself, can you see God? Can you relate to God as much as you relate with your normal? And that is true. God is, he said, he that comes to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently. So how can I relate to God? I must see God. You know, how do you relate with your wife? You see her, is it not? You hear her. You touch her. You feel her. You know, so those are the ways in which you relate. So how then can I relate to God when my eyes are closed? When my ears cannot hear God? Amen. You know, so those are the things that begin to happen when we realize that the relationship with God is on a different platform. And the devil wants you and I to continue in this deception called church. So the whole thing about location is church. You know, so why do we need those things? We need them for convenience, to be able to, you know, as minimal as possible. We need a little bit of organization, a little bit of all those logistics, housekeeping, you know. But man wants to major in that, because man doesn't want to change. By the way, man says he's God, so how is he going to seek after another God? So the basic nature of the soul says that I am God, you know, and that is the nature that needs to be addressed. So we are being called. There is a need to address the fundamental change. And what is that? That in the New Testament, by the way, the New Testament is according to the order of Christ. Jesus is the high priest, isn't it also? And every Bible says we're a royal priesthood. And if you look at Exodus 19, it says that you shall be a nation of priests. So even before, when he was establishing the law, God had a concept that everybody would be a priest. Even though he took just one tribe, Levi, and said, okay, you will not be the priest. It was a temporary arrangement. It couldn't have been a permanent arrangement. But you and I today, we want a priest. We want a man called, like he said, pastors in the name of elders. In the end time, the elders in the end time are now gradually graduating. And in some settings have graduated to pastors and bishops, and okay, maybe we shouldn't go more than that. Amen. Man wants it because that is the structure, and that's what the devil wants. But you see, he is at the head of it. That is not the thing. So everybody says that, you know, if you read down to it, it says, I'll make a new covenant with you, that every man will know God, so that nobody will say to his brother, know the Lord, because you shall know God. So the emphasis is on you knowing God. So if you don't know God, you cannot blame anybody. And I cannot teach you know the Lord. You must know God for yourself. Because all that it takes to know God is available unto us. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, so John chapter 2, there are several scriptures that give us that background. Okay? Now, this is Jesus. You come to Paul. What did Paul say? 1 Corinthians 3, 16, down. 1 Corinthians 6, all through. 2 Corinthians 6, all through. He's saying the same thing. You go to 1 Corinthians 10. He's speaking. The whole thing that Paul was speaking about was speaking. He says, know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. This body was meant for the Holy Ghost. You see, there is an order the life in the spirit is what gives life to the body. The body of man does not have any life but that which receives from the soul. And the soul does not have any life but that which receives from the spirit. And the spirit does not have any life but that which receives from the spirit of God. So you are looking at the moon. The moon doesn't have any life. The only light the moon has is what? The light that comes from the sun. Amen. The sun itself has light. Alright? So, he's speaking of different degrees. That the soul must have a light source, must be able to receive life. So, whenever a man cannot receive life from God, that soul will continue to die. And his body will also continue to die. So, the sickness and the disease that we have, yes, we can practice all our good eating, eat all the herbs, eat all the vegetables, eat ginger, eat garlic, we don't eat carbohydrate in the night, no problem. But I want to recommend to you a better and excellent way. Let your soul tap into an energy.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is an energy called Zoe.
Peter.
The life of God.
Oh, yes. Amen.
It's like a current.
Yes.
And in this world, there are two levels of energy, carnal life and Zoe, the life of God. In that life, there are visions. There are, you know, when you touch that, when you come to that realm, it energizes the soul. It feeds the soul. And see, and that was the energy and the life that was feeding Adam. And I'm telling you, brethren, you and I can tap into it. How do I know? Well, in the camp, just a few days ago, we all went, the cloud came down and took us, and we went to eternity. You're looking at me.
Amen.
We all went into the life of God. And that energy, we felt the energy of God for 4 hours, is it not? From 8 p.m. to around past two at midnight, we could feel the energy, the power. Amen. I don't hear any amen.
You
see, God shows us a new dimension of life and of work. And the ministry has changed.
Amen.
Because see, right now, God has proved to us that, see, you can tap into that place.
Oh, yes.
And what God is giving to us is not just for camp meeting. It is an everyday thing. I can tap into it. In fact, I can be permanently plugged to it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus said that I live by my Father. You know, so there is a bread that there is an energy, there is a life that is available to, which is different from the natural carnal life that we need. Now, man lives by the carnal life. What am I saying? There is a life that you find in the world. You know, Brother Bob drew it for us. You know, you call it it's the darkness in the world, but it's an energy source. There's an energy source. And you get it through your eyes. You get it through your ears. You get it through your physical 5 senses. That's how you draw carnal life. That's one type of life. But there's another life also. And it's called Zoe.
Yes.
The life of God.
Amen.
Okay. It's eternal energy of God. And there are three dimensions. The vitality of God. The incorruptible, because it's immortality. Okay, and then the dunamis.
Hallelujah.
That are the three dimensions of that life. And you will reach that life by our soul, the mind opening up to God. So when the mind opens up to God, that energy begins to flow. And the devil has blocked it. Amen. So, brethren, it's not an abstract thing we're talking about. We're talking about reality of life, of experience, that he's calling the people to. And if we are going to get into it, then we have to change our approach. Well, that is what God is saying to us. To realize that you are the temple of the living God. A temple is a house in which a spirit lives.
Yes.
Yes.
That is the definition of a temple. A temple is a house of a spirit.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
But you think that I have not agreed that I will be the house of God. I have not fully agreed. Amen. And that is the point of the consecration that we are being called to. That is why the consecration is critical. So God is restoring a new message. The message of the cross. being restored back to the church. It's a point of death. Robert has been telling us about death to self. You know, at the beginning, the message was death to self. The devil has covenantly taken away death to self. And what we see now is what? The self is alive. Self-propagation. Self-promotion. You know, love not the world. You don't hear it anymore. When you preach that you are emotionally assaulting the people and making the people of God sad. You are emotionally abusing the people of God. Amen. That is the plan of the devil, to take away. You know, Bible said that the preaching of the cross is what? The power of God. Amen. So if we're going to have power, then we must go back to the death to self message. The cross. And I say, God, restore the cross. Restore the message of the cross to me. Restore the walk of the cross to me. I must walk the way of the cross. And the Bible says you must walk, carry your cross daily and follow. Amen. Now, that is the way to ascend into the heavens. It's the way of the cross. Amen. So, God is restoring that message. He's restoring that life. And in that setting, of course, we know the things. It says the national life, the tribal dimensions, and the familial, the personal. It says, and ye, he must hate himself. If any man does not what? Hate his father, hate his mother, hate so and so, and even his own self also, he cannot be my disciple. So that is the message. Yes, we are born again. Yes, so we are all agreed. The cross is there. But I also found that the cross is also somewhere else. It progresses. Amen. Now, because see, the importance of the laver is that this is where the decision, a covenant is made that I will be a heavenly creation. Amen. The Bible talks about the inhabitants of heaven. So the baptism into Christ is a baptism into a life of the Spirit. A life in which my soul is going to be nourished, is going to be entertained by the life of God, by the heavenly things of God. Amen. And that is a consecration we make. And that is a commitment we make. That we are no longer going to be carnal people. Yes, amen.
Amen.
That we are not going to walk carnally. But that we are going to walk spiritually. Now, Robert was telling us about his commitment to be a partaker of this, you call it this most holy place experience. In the most holy place, you find cherubims. You find cherubims. The cherubims are a piece of a nature of someone that has a focus on God. There's an appetite for the presence of God. There is a mindset on the presence of God. You see, perfection is in the mind. There is a mindset of perfection. When you say perfection, means being complete, being full, being, you know, that's being holy. You know, when he says he created man, he created us in his nature, in his likeness, in his image. There are three dimensions of the likeness of God. One, God is light, God is holy, and God is love.
Amen.
Amen. And these are the three natures that we must have. So it says, you must be perfect. You must be holy. And we must also walk in his love. You know, let's get back to this labor, this consecration. You know, a consecration to walk in the Spirit. So let me get back to this board. So the scriptures are well established you know, about man being the temple of God. Now, let's go to the next level. We know that the man has three natures: the spirit, the soul, and the body. So that's the third dimension. All right, and these four natures are dimensions that are within man. The Bible says there are four living creatures. You know, those are, well, if it's business, they will say those are four revenue earning or expenditure points. That is where you spend money or you get money in. So these are energy centers or life centers within you that need energy. They need life. I must have life. Amen. So if the soul must have life, okay, and if it doesn't have spiritual life, then it's going to go for carnal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Yeah, it's like you're tired.
Amen.
Are we tired? Okay, you didn't answer. So that maybe you're tired. Okay. The soul hungers, and the soul must be fed. So let's read from Proverbs. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Let's read a little bit about the soul. Proverbs 13, verse 2, 4, and 25. It says, "A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence." Verse 4, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and had nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Verse 25, "The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want." Praise the Lord. Okay, so there are several other scriptures that talk about the dimension of the soul. That the soul is a living entity, is a living creation. And if we go back to Hebrews 8, verse 7 says, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, 'Behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and brought them out of Egypt.'" Verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, 'Ginosko, know the Lord.' For they shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he said a new covenant, he had made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxed old is ready to vanish." Amen.
Amen.
So we're not even discussing sin, because sin is a matter of, it's gone. You know? We're not even discussing whether will I overcome sin, won't I overcome sin. Forget it, it's finished. Amen.
Amen.
Because say he will make an end of sin.
Amen.
He will finish the transgression, and he will make an end of sins.
Amen.
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 So we're not discussing will there be sin or won't there be sin. That's gone. But we're speaking of perfection.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
We are speaking of a law. The law must be in the inward part. That is where it must be, in the inward part. And that is the true law, you know, that must be.
Hallelujah.
So let's read a little bit about this law. Romans Romans 2. Let's read about this law. I see that you're getting a bit tired, so I'm just rushing. We'll go, just get an overview. I'm sure the Lord will help us. We'll be able to. So it's something that you can look at when you get home. Okay, look at verse 11. Romans 2:11. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall what? Also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Nigerians and when the Americans, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these Americans and Nigerians, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Verse 15. We show their work, the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel.
Amen.
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 I'm not a lawyer, but the language is very clear. There is a natural law. Rather, there is an eternal law. And that law is in the conscience. Amen.
Amen.
That's where the law is. But what the devil says, Bible says that some people have their conscience seared.
Yes.
Is it not so? So that's what the devil has done, where he has gone ahead of man, gone very, very far. And what has he done? He has already blacked out the conscience. Amen. So the man sees evil, he says good, doesn't matter. Right now, there's nothing like good or evil in the world now.
Yes.
That's where we have come to. So the conscience has been completely seared. Amen. Bible says he has given them over to what? A reprobate mind. And God forbid that you and I should have a reprobate mind. Should have a conscience that is seared. That is, we are not touched by sin. We are not afraid. Because Bible said that by the fear of the Lord, men depart from sin. And the fear of the Lord is what is the bedrock, is the foundation. Is it not so? Of knowledge. So how are you going to know God if you do not fear him? You can see. So the mind is blunted. That's what Ephesians 4 was saying. There's a vanity in the mind. Jeremiah talks about it. Ezekiel talks about that they became vain in their mind. And they began to bring forth unfruitful things. So if you and I become vain in our mind, that our conscience, we don't fear God. So you come to a point, Bible says we are past feeling. That means anything can happen. You know, and it doesn't even touch you. Amen. And that is the place where you and I should not be. But that's where the devil has taken man to be. And so men function as though there is no God. And when I say men, even in the church, there's no fear of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we must go back to God and say, Lord, apply the blood. You see, the blood must be applied in the mind. Because the Bible says in Leviticus 17 that he has given the blood to make atonement for the soul. Amen.
Amen.
So let's look at solution. Leviticus 17. Well, are you tired?
No.
Well, if you're tired, you can stand up and say praise the Lord. Because I'm not going to stop. Hallelujah. I'm not going to stop. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll soon finish. Leviticus 17. We're just trying to. It's 7. No. Is it? I always mean, is it 7:17 or 7:10? always mix it up. Where is it? 17. I always mix it up. Okay, so let's get it. So those who do not know, or you are hearing this word for the first time, please write it down. There are three things that bring the life of God to the soul: the blood, the spirit, and the word. Those are the three stones. Amen. By the way, did you know that the three stones must be applied in the conscience? The three stones must be applied in the conscience. The three stones: the blood stone, the Holy Ghost stone, and the Christ stone, which is the word. Because it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Don't stop there. And the word was made flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. So the word became living. Amen. Amen. And that living word, see, that word in him was life. And that life was the light. So it is word, life, and light. Amen.
Amen.
So the word we're hearing is spirit. And it's bringing an energy to us, bringing a life. And that life is the fire of God, the light of God, to lighten the soul. Now, the doctrine of Christ, like Robert was telling you, telling us, you see, the purpose of my life is not to be a medical doctor, this one, you are this. That's not, the purpose of my life is to be a partaker of those group of souls that have been lightened by the light of God. That is what it means by Christ, sons of God. Sons of God are souls that were dark. But they have received so much of the life of God that they are now exporting light. Exporting the life of God. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible said that the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. Hallelujah. Brethren, that's what God is calling us for.
Yes.
Yes.
My soul is a dark place. Hallelujah. My soul is an energy receiving place. Praise God. Hallelujah. It has no life of its own. But you see, God is inviting me to come into him, to bring my soul to him, and he will begin to energize my soul. The Bible said that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, energizing, bringing light, bringing life to the soul. Some of us have problem with besetting sin because we are looking for life. We are looking for excitement on all times that can never satisfy.
Amen.
So God says, when you get into the promised land, break down the images.
Amen.
Break down the altars.
Yes, yes.
Destroy the pictures. Destroy the images. Where are those images?
The mind.
The images are in the mind. Are in the conscience. Yes. Hallelujah. So the God of this world has imprinted, he has built up altars. An altar is an energy point, something raised up where a sacrifice is offered. So also in our life, there are, by the workings of the devil, there are strongholds of natures that the devil has built up. And he knows that that's where he gets life. And God says, destroy it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, how are you going to destroy it? Number one, the blood. Amen. So let's look at Leviticus 17:11. Say, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The blood has the life of God. Has the energy of God. And that is one weapon that we have been given. So we must apply the blood in our minds. We must wash the mind by the blood. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, now what does the priest do? The priest, when the priest comes into the tabernacle, what does he do? He comes there, he must bring an offering. And he brings an offering of blood. Now, this offering of blood may be a sin offering. That is, there is sin. It brings, and the blood must be applied to the altar. Amen.
Amen.
The offering may be a transgressional offering. That means there's a problem. Maybe you had a disagreement with somebody. It's called a trespass offering. you must also apply it at the blood, apply the blood at the mind. It may be what the Bible calls a peace offering. All right, this is not an offering, not because of sin or transgression, but it's an offering of the fat. It's an offering of the liver. It's an offering of the kidney. Now, this the liver and the kidney represent the mind. It represent those who read literature know that when they say someone does not have a strong liver, doesn't have the liver to do something, that means he doesn't have the mind. He's not strong minded. He's not strong willed. He's a weakling. So he has no liver, isn't it not so? So you are speaking of the mind. So God says, bring your liver. Bring, in other words, you need to bring the inward part and offer it. Now, we have not made it a practice to offer ourselves to God as our daily sacrifice. Amen.
Amen.
Rather, we think that this is the pulpit is holy. This table is holy. Is the pulpit. But my mind is not holy. My emotions are not holy. Anything can happen in my emotions. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So it says, dearly beloved, we must offer and present ourselves as what? A living sacrifice. Now, that's a secret. You cannot commit anything without your mind. The devil needs your permission. The devil needs your mind for you to enter into any transgression. Amen.
Amen.
He must get you to think about it. He must get your mind to dwell on something. If you refuse to dwell on that thing, nothing will happen. Amen.
Amen.
Are we agreed?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, if you want to win the war, you must offer your mind as a living sacrifice. Amen. Let's read it somewhere else. Why am I getting the feeling that you are tired? Don't get tired.
You are not tired.
Amen. Amen. It's only a few minutes to 9 o'clock. And they said we are going all the way this night. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Are we not going all the way this night?
Yeah.
We are able to go up and take the country to possess a land from the Philistines. Amen. Oh yeah, get up. All right, Romans 12. Brethren, we are looking at principles of overcoming. Principles of overcoming in the mind. The greatest weapon to overcome is what? The blood. In Egypt, he said, go, take the blood. What do you do to it? You put it on a lintel and you put it on the doorpost. And when the enemy comes, what will he do? He will pass over. Put the blood in your mind. Put the blood in your emotions, in your desire. It has to be a practice. It's not a stroll in the park. Amen.
Amen.
The devil, try it tomorrow. In fact, from now, say, the devil, you will not have my mind. And he's going to try it left. He will bring one bombardment, try this. All he wants is for you to succumb. But say, if you fail, if your strength fails in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Our strength must not fail in the day of adversity.
Amen.
When there is an offense, when somebody has hurt you, when somebody has spoken something wrong about you, has gossiped, when those things come, when you have a problem in the office or things don't go the way you have planned it, the day of adversity has come. And it is your mind. Amen.
Amen.
Who was telling us about the U.S. Navy SEALs? How they train them. All right, they pass them through the greatest training, the strain. They go into the cold, and those who overcome, they overcome because of is the mindset. They call them special forces, and those are the ones that it's mental energy. They call it mental power. Hallelujah! They're borrowing it from the Bible.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
And it belongs to us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The Bible says, "Let's look at it." I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by Romans 12:1, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye metamorpho or transformed by the renewing of my mind, that you may prove what is good after God, and what is acceptable, holy place, and what is perfect, will of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It all comes down to the mind. The mind can be renewed. My mind can be renewed. Oh, I didn't hear amen.
Amen.
My mind can. We will sing that song, heal my mind, Lord. It's not magic. Okay? It's magic if you believe in ultimate reconciliation. You sleep and then, like my boss said, the man is in the bed of adultery. Then he has a trumpet. His mind is healed immediately. No? Amen. The mind must be metamorphosed, transformed. And the Bible says, how do you transform the mind? It says, how will a young man cleanse his way? By giving heed according to your word. Amen. Let me read the scripture from Proverbs. We'll come down. I'm coming down to you. Let's read Proverbs. Proverbs 3. Look at Proverbs 4:1. It says, hear you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Okay. If you go to Proverbs 2:1, it says, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. If thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of wisdom. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and so on and so on and so on. The wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, these things that change the mind, the four dimensions of the mind, they are not. It's not a stroll in the park. It's not Brother that was saying somebody, you get born again, it's free. Amen. Amen. You get born again, free of charge. You pray for every other thing.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
When you are in the locational church, locational doctrine, my church is better than yours. My church has air conditioner. Yours has heat conditioner. You don't work for anything. Nothing. It's a free gospel. God will bless you. God will bless you. You know. Like the man, you know, he said, so the man came was saying, oh, all the points. We didn't tell you about tribulation. The tribulation is the man. The man has to get the law in the inward part. It is a work. It is a labor. It is an energy. He says, here too shall a young man cleanse his way. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart. Amen. And that speaks of a determined, conscious effort to hear the word of God. Now, the word of God is addressing the mind. The one is spirit. It's because the one that he speaks to us, they are spirit and they are life. So, we need a new focus, a new hunger. We need to open ourselves to the word of God. Not just hearing, but studying. Memorizing, chewing the cud. I was looking for a scripture, I have forgotten it. It says, do not forget the law of thy father and thy mother. The law of thy mother speaks of the testimonies in the church. Our mother is the church, isn't it also? There are different tests, there are men of God, tapes, messages on the internet. That is the message of the mother. He said, do not forget it. And he said, do not forget the message of the father. That's the direct word that your father speaks to you. So it's not just, yes, to hear what other people are saying, but we must be able to go to God and get a word for ourselves. Chuku, are you hearing me? You must go to God and hear directly from God. How many of you have been in Kenya Airways said, this is a direct message from the pilot. Put on your seatbelt. It's a direct message. because there is a turbulence in front. He said, this is a direct information from the pilot. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know you have to obey. because something will happen. The plane will start shaking and jerking. Amen. Amen. So it's not just through the air hostess. The pilot is speaking directly to you. Amen. Amen. God speaks directly to us. But he is also speaking through the church. Amen. Hallelujah. There are testimonies, books, tapes, good ones. So God trusts that you should have discernment to know good food and bad food. Amen.
Amen.
So there are so many things happening. So God expects you to know the one that is good. And he says, anyone that doesn't have frankincense, that doesn't have the flavor of the king, that doesn't have the flavor of life. And how do you get life? You cannot get life without dying. So any word that stains the flesh is from the devil. Throw it away. I didn't hear amen.
Amen.
Any word that spares the flesh cannot be that which will deliver the soul. Amen.
Amen.
So there are testimonies that have been given to us. We should get it and begin to hide it in our mind. Meditate on it. Chew on it. Now, the word that comes in will bring a change. Because Isaiah 51:5 said that when I send my word, it will not come back void.
Yes.
It will succeed in that which God has sent it for. Amen. Let's look at Isaiah 55. You must have faith that the word you are hearing now will change you. If you do not believe, brethren, there's no more hope. So why are you here? So you must believe that the word you hear must change you, can change you. Amen. So Proverbs 55 gives us the command that Jesus said 51, Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 gives us the it's for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Say, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and return not hither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Amen.
Amen.
So you must believe it. Because faith comes by hearing.
Yes.
And hearing the word of God. And the Bible says it is not possible to please God without faith. So, you know, we have been told that we should desire to please God. How do you please God? By faith. By faith, Abraham obtained a good report. You know, so God expects us as sons of God to make provision to hide the word of God.
No.
And now we are in an electronic age. Alright? So you have the TV. In fact, TV is even going out of stock now. I hear they say there is no longer broadcast. There's now narrowcast. The narrowcast is iPod, iPad, and so on. And you now design the news you watch. You don't need TV where they give you the news they want you to watch. You decide what you. So we are being liberated, brethren. So you can decide what you want to watch, how you watch it. So you need a change, a paradigm shift in our minds. Alright. So the whole thing goes back to the mind. What do we feed our soul? The soul feeds. And what do you feed? You feed the soul through the eyes. That's how you get it. That's the first thing is the eyes. And the devil wants spirits to enter your eyes. I hope you know. And the spirit to also enter the eyes of your understanding. They go both ways. Okay. And you have the control. And the control is understanding. There's a lock. You lock it. Amen. And so it is a find we must win. Amen.
Amen.
So it must be a determined thing to reprogram. you know, so we have all the things, all the internet and so on. We are busy, but it is either like in the university, either you publish or you perish. Yes, yeah. It's either you hide the word or you perish.
Oh my God!
If you hide the word, the spirit will run away.
Oh yes, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. You cut off the energy source of the devil. The devil is finished. God, you know, God challenged me. He said, "The devil is 9 stones. You are 9 stones. Why are you afraid of the devil?" And in Christ, we are even going to get 3 additional stones in the inward part. We are going to get the blood stone. We are going to get the Christ. And we're going to get the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So, like he was saying, when you say the devil, one of us can destroy the devil, it's not just trying to make us feel good. That is the statistical and empirical statement.
Mathematical.
You can prove it.
It's scientific.
Amen.
Amen.
In Christ, we are stronger and higher and more endowed than any devil.
Oh, yes. Amen.
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 But the devil has told us otherwise. Brethren, there is a place where we have authority. And it is the life of Christ. It's an energy that's flowing to us. See, there is a river that makes glad the city. There's a river. There's a life flow. Now, there are things that unlock that life. And the blood is one source. The blood. When you turn our mind to the blood, he anoints the four corners. That's what they did. They bring the blood, they anoint the four corners of the altar. The four corners of the altar are our mind, our emotions. They need blood every day. Amen.
Amen.
Bring, but we don't do it. We must bring blood to our mind and cleanse the mind. Nourish the mind. Amen.
Amen.
Then we must bring the word of God also there. And then we must also bring the spirit of God. Those are the 3 dimensions that Bible says that as we behold the image, they were changed from glory to glory by the spirit of God. So the spirit is working to bring a change. The blood is working to bring a change. And the word is working to bring a change. There is no way we will lose.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So brethren, there is a new priest that's arising out of the land.
Amen.
This priest is hiding the word. He says, "Thy word, thy law have I written in my heart, that I might not sin."
Amen.
So there's a new program. God is reprogramming the conscience. You know, that is the priesthood, the garment, the equipment that we need to function to give life. You know, to so that when we say that has loved righteousness and hated wickedness. So our judgment will be that anything that is not good, that is not of God, we will reject it.
Yes.
Anything that is of God, we will accept it. And we will have such a passion for good, for righteousness. You know, that is our nature. Amen. So that has loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Amen. You know, I end with the scripture that says in Isaiah 4, it says, "In that day, 7 women will lay hold on 1 man. It says, let us wear our own apparel. Let us eat our own bread. That woman is the soul. That woman is the soul. You see, when it comes down, when you bring it down, it speaks of which kind of nature does this conscience have? Is this a conscience that is seared, that cannot discern between good and evil? Amen. And if in the level of our mind and in our inward parts, we are not able to discern life, then we cannot be brides of Christ. We cannot qualify. And God cannot dwell. See, he inhabits the praise of his people. You know, the cherubims also are that dwelling place. God dwells between the cherubims. So if we are going to be God's dwelling place, that means we must have a nature that desires God, that cannot be satisfied with anything else but God. Amen.
Amen.
So there's a new generation that is rising, and you and I are being called to be partakers of that generation. It is very, very clear. To come in there, we must pull away from this Jerusalem church and from this my fellowship church and come into that worship in the spirit. Okay? So wherever I am, I am there unto the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Because the Lord is seeking them that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the hallmark is going to be discernment. You know, that they have their senses exercised to judge between the precious and the vile. They have their senses discerned to know that which is not of God and that which is of God. To cling to God and resist the devil. You know, so that is what God is doing, and that is the call He's giving to us. And it's an exciting thing. And I pray that the Lord will help us to come to the plate. To come to the plate. To come to the, that is, so individually make the commitment and the sacrifice that is required. If you look at he's calling us to move forward. You know, we are moving forward. We are going beyond the holy place, church.
Oh yes.
And we are coming into the holiest. That is,
oh, yes,
the last church. Now this is a church that's going beyond the veil, and that is the veil of humanity. All right, and we are coming into the church, okay, that is going to be a church of His presence. People who are used to, who have an appetite for God, you know, to dwell in His presence, to feed out of the light of God, out of the energy of God. And that is actually what He means by the pot of manna. If you look at that box, there's the pot of manna, that is the energy source. And then he speaks about the law, and then the priesthood. The priesthood has overcome darkness and has come into life. You know, so brethren, there is something, there is an excitement, and there is something that God is calling us to. And the key is to come out of church. Amen.
Amen.
Don't play church. Amen. We must reject church. So say, come out of her, my people.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We must come into Zion. Now, Zion is the place where the soul is being fed, being prepared by the restaurant of God. Amen.
Amen.
Because there's a heavenly restaurant. Yeah, there's another restaurant that's called Babylon. That's the restaurant of passions. Okay, so so that's what the world is offering us: the excitement of anity's whoredoms, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh. The whole thing is built around sexuality, in the dressing, in the mindset, in the relationship. Everything is on passions, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, and if the soul eats that, Bible says the soul will die. Because that cannot sustain the soul. The only thing that can keep me going, that can give life to me, is the life of God.
Yes.
You know, so it is a choice you and I have to make, that we will not walk in the flesh. We will not walk according to the carnal mind. We will rather walk according to the Spirit. For those who walk in the Spirit, those are the sons of God. And it is possible to walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
To walk in the Spirit, we must be alive in the Spirit. That means the eyes of understanding must be opened. Our spiritual ears must be opened. Our ability to discern God. Our senses must be exercised. Amen.
Amen.
So we must put aside pastor. And go, every man go to God. And begin to get a direct message from the throne. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Before we begin to pray, so I was just sharing something that occurred to me. You know, I've been doing a lot of study about the mind. My research work really is based on the issue of the mind, about attitudes and behaviors. For us in the academics, there are three components you find in the mind. Or loyalty, because here we are talking about Romans 6:16, where it says, "To whom you to obey, you become." So the mind is the center of loyalty. You understand? That is where And that's
center of
loyalty.
Loyalty.
Yes. And he says that when that is, I think it's Matthew now, he says that abomination sits in the holy place. That is where it's coming. It's right upon the mind. Okay. So we have three components there. You have what we call cognitive loyalty, which has to do with the issue of knowledge. Knowledge. And then you have the attitudinal loyalty. That is your attitude, your passion. The things you yearn for, the things you desire. You know, they are expressed in your attitude. While the behavior is the action point. That is what makes you really take a decision. So in marketing, there are three things that can really move you. By the time you watch an advert on TV, you acquire knowledge of that product. Is it not so? Then the next thing is that you begin to like it. Okay, you now begin to develop, not only just liking it, you become a referral. You say, have you tried Delta Palm Olive? It's very good soap. You start spreading the news because you have a passion for that particular product. Not only that, you're going to take action. You're going to buy. You're not just going to buy. You're going to increase even your volume of buying. Okay, so the mind is the center of activity. And here we are saying, or the Lord is saying to us, that there are two things that can happen there. Either we have loyalty towards the devil and the things that have to do with the world. You understand? You have passion for the world, the things of the world. It's come from the realm of your mind. That is where you yield. And like he said, there is no action you will take that your mind is not the motivating factor.
That's true.
That is what drives you.
Yes.
So your mind will tell you, oh, you like this, you can go for it. Okay, so you begin to reach out for it. While on the other hand, if we're yielding to God, that's why I quoted the scripture, Romans 6:16. You begin to, it drives you more to God. You begin to have yearning for the things of God, for the kingdom of God, for the people of God. You want to be in the presence of God. If you don't do that, what naturally happens is that you tilt to the other side, okay, where you begin to yield to the persuasions and the push of the enemy, and you begin. So the mind plays a crucial part. But you see what Paul said in Romans 12. He says what? By the transforming of our mind. And I will say that in very simple terms. Every day, I must renew my loyalty to Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And the only way you can do it is by going into the presence of God, desiring more of God, reading the word of God, being in the praying. That, you know, it is not in jumping around. Jumping around does not really do much to you. Many Christians jump around, you know, trying to please their pastors, try to show that they are others, that they don't count. He wants us to, you know, matter, just that was the problem that matter had. She was jumping around. She wanted to exhibit that she knows God. But in actual truth, she didn't. And that was why Jesus said about Mary, that Mary did what? She has chosen the better part. It's being in the presence of God. Having a passion to be in His presence. It's not having a passion to jump around. It does not really help us much, brethren. So God is demanding that we come to the point where we show our loyalty is not in the physical things we do necessarily, is by coming into His presence, desiring more of him, yearning, having a passion for Him. And by the time we begin to do that, it begins to manifest. It's not the other way around. Praise the Lord. So as we pray tonight, I think that God will want us to come to the point where we begin to address, you know, the appendages, the things that our minds have cropped up and have handled, that are bringing distraction, you know, to our focus in walking in God. So God will really want us to examine some of the things that are dwelling in our minds, because that is the center of action, the things that are working right within our soul, the desires, the will, you know, all the things that are going on there. He wants us to look at them tonight and bring them to His altar and ask Him for help. Brother, I tell you something, the darkness, we haven't seen anything yet. The darkness is going to increase more and more. More and more. As we see the days drawing nearer, so also the increase of darkness. But praise God. He says that as the darkness is increasing, as our men are becoming more darkness and becoming grossly dark, that the light of his glory shall be arisen upon a people. There are people that God will come to. And brethren, it is not by a shortcut, it's not by a short fix. It is by a people who are seeking for this glory and for the manifestation of the life of God in their very being. Right here on earth, it's not in heaven, it's here. He's going to walk and talk in a people. That is what God is looking out for. And it must be our desire and our passion, brethren. Hallelujah. That the things of the Spirit take hold of our heart, take hold of our mind. In every day, that is just what you, that is your food, that is your daily food, that is your, it's a burning desire, it is a passion you have within you, that you might walk and talk like God upon the face of the earth. Let's begin to pray. Let's respond to the word tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Men are playing church. Hallelujah. God is not interested in church. He is interested in a body. He said, a body thou hast prepared me. Hallelujah. He is looking for people that will draw near to him. It is not in localized, you know, religion, I would call it. But God is looking for a people who would desire him, yearn for him. He wants to dwell in us. Brethren, the purpose of God for creation is that he might dwell in a people, that he might talk in them, walk in them. That was the purpose why he created Adam. That was the main purpose. Hallelujah. Let's ask him for help tonight. Hallelujah. Our minds must be renewed. Our minds must be purged from all the appendages and from all the, you know, the affinities we have with the things of the world. Somewhere, you know, I think it has to do with Jacob. It says that the well that Abraham dug, it was filled with earth. Our minds have been filled with the earth. It has been filled with carnality. Therefore, there cannot be springs of water coming out of this well. But tonight, the well can be redug. Hallelujah. Amen. And it can become Rehoboth, where God can have an accommodation. Hallelujah. Where he can come and dwell. Where he can come and walk. Where our lives become a refreshing. That will bring him glory. Hallelujah. That will honor him. Hallelujah. Oh, Masatara Manayantaranai. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Masatara Manastatayana. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Can take this song together. I want to be. I want to walk as a child of the Lord. I want to know the Jesus, the Son of Righteousness. Shine on my path and show me the way to the Father. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The night is the light in the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. I'm looking for the coming of Christ. I want to look at Jesus. When we have run with patience the race, we shall know the life of Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are
above the light. The Lamb is the light in the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. I want to see the brightness of Christ. I want to be with Jesus. God send the stars to give light to the world. The star of my life is Jesus. Oh, in Him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day abode the light. The Lamb is the light in the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. I want to walk as the light of the light. I want to follow Jesus. Son of righteousness, shine in my life, and show me the way to the Father. In Him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day abode the light. The Lamb is the light in the city of God. Oh, shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. In Him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day abode the light. The Lamb is the